Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This is Serge from Saravan Restaurant and Flavor Matters, and I am continuing my conversation with Liana Agajanyan, the American-Armenian journalist, writer who lives in Los Angeles. And like me, she was born in Tehran, Iran, and she had to leave Iran after the unrest in Iran. Thank you very much for sticking around, Liana.
Thank you for having me.
Liana, we've spoken about food. We've spoken about your immense and difficult undertaking, Dining in Diaspora, which is your blog in which you research Armenians throughout the world, mostly in the U.S., but also outside of the U.S., and what we eat, how we live, and who we are. I think that's an immense, immense project, and I just want to say, firstly, thank you very much for undertaking that. Secondly, I wanted to ask you, I wanted to start this with one comment that you had highlighted that was given to us by George Martikian, who was the owner of Omar Khayyam, this very famous Armenian restaurant in Fresno and San Francisco. And you interviewed his son, Haik, who, by the way, I also had the pleasure of speaking to him many, many years ago when I first opened up Saravan. And I have the books. And in there, one of the comments is, "One moment you belong with your fathers to a million dead yesterdays. The next you belong to a million unborn tomorrows," which is a very interesting quote that you extracted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dining in Diaspora is looking to forward to the million unborn futures. Right now, at this moment, how does that quote resonate with you?
It just about sums up the Armenian experience, doesn't it? In so many ways. We have always straddled life and death in that way throughout history, you know? And yes, absolutely. I think that along with the loss comes a resilience and a celebration of ingenuity, as you mentioned earlier, and what we have been able to do with that despite or in spite of our losses, and what we continue to do. You know, you're doing it too in the work that you're doing, and so that's feels like a continuation of all of it in the present. But yes, there are a lot of stories that have that encompass that resilience and that ingenuity, and a lot of the times they live under the surface, and so we don't know them. But that's what I'm trying to find more of those stories.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is that my grandfather Hatshik Madikyan, who was the survivor of the Armenian genocide with his father, and mainly because they had left their home, and he survived the revolution in Russia, the communist Russia, and ended up in Tehran, Iran, and started Kafe Naderi, which was the first European-style cafe in Tehran, Iran. And he's credited for having started that. Mikhaelians in Tehran, Iran, were credited for introducing cold cuts, preserved meats, you know? And then there was their competitor, Arzumanyan, which were the other Armenians that started that. And then we have Mr. George Mardikian, who you very eloquently and concisely convey how he introduced to the U.S., at least in California, the Armenian cuisine and Armenian food. But I want to preface one thing that we haven't touched upon yet, which is when we say Armenian food, one thing that is not really conveyed is the way Armenians eat. It's one thing to say Armenian food. It's another thing to sit at an Armenian table and eat at the Armenian table. And you said that I do my part. I do a very small part in upstate New York. And when I serve the apur, or when I serve the dolma, when I serve the jingalovhats, or when I serve the nazuk, which has become our most popular dessert, there is a sense of lightness, and I just want to dance, you know? So I want you, in this segment, to tell us a little bit more from your travels in Armenia, in other countries, and in the U.S. Convey to us, paint for our listeners how Armenians eat, why the Armenian food is not just Armenian food, but what makes Armenian food more special is the way Armenians eat.
Mm-hmm. So wherever you are in the world, if you meet an Armenian and they invite you to their table, you know that you're loved. You really do. It's an expression of love. And that has happened everywhere I've been and met Armenians, whether it was Los Angeles, in Detroit, in Yerevan, Armenia, in London, England, in Cyprus, wherever I was, and I met Armenians and they invited me to their table, I knew that was special because that's how we show our love a lot of the time. And our table involved
and our gratitude and our humility.
Absolutely, yes. And so if you want a taste, no pun intended, of what it is to be Armenian or to get a taste of Armenian life, you have to be at an Armenian table, because it's not just the food. It's the ritual of the food. It's the what happens before the food gets to you. What happens while you're eating, everything that goes into that. We fight and we love and we cry and we laugh at that table. And so our whole story is encompassed there. Whether, you know, you're eating, you're drinking, you're talking, you'll get a full picture. Yeah. If you join someone at an Armenian table.
And then there's a friend, I'm sorry to interrupt, I started laughing, because your friend or your brother or your mother and your father isn't going to ask permission whether or not they can reach over and grab something from your plate.
They'll just
reach over and grab something from your plate.
Of course not. Of course. And, you know, if you start to look like your plate's getting empty, someone's always there to fill it. So exactly. you better come very hungry to an Armenian table, and you better come prepared to talk. You better come prepared to hear speeches and, drink a lot as well. So it's very...
a lot of life.
A lot of life. A lot of celebration. Yes.
That happens at the Armenian table. I want to go back to your, you know, I think this is a nice segue to go back into your writing and your initiation of the eating in diaspora and the encouragement that George Mardikian's, you know, his story sort of solidified that impulse in you that had been hovering in your head. And I want to read this section and ask you to elaborate on that and how you can add to it. You wrote that his existence and contributions to his adopted country gave me a sense of feeling rooted. It made me realize that I had some legacy here, one that had its hand in changing America in a positive way, that my identity was more varied than I was led to believe by larger powers that be.
Yeah, that sums it up.
I feel that as well. And I want you to please elaborate on that. And we have about 4 minutes, so feel free.
Sure. So I think it's twofold. One is that, you know, as someone who is from a different generation than George Marjikian was, you tend to concentrate on the present. You know, you tend to think about what you're doing, where you are. And as an immigrant and someone with a refugee background, you think your story begins and ends there. And it does sometimes, because there's a lot of things that I personally can't access from my family because, you know, we had to leave the country that we knew as our home. And so finding these stories, you know, George Mardikian's story was just a way for me to understand that, well, hold on, a lot happened before I got here and we just don't know about it. And because we share that ancestry, I feel that I can link to that and say, well, a lot of the people who share my ancestry have been here before and look at these amazing things that they've done. And I want to embrace that as part of my story too. And the other part is that, you know, what we're led to believe from forces that are larger than us, you know, we are not just...
And what do you mean by those forces that are larger than you?
Well,
I think history, that, you mean politics?
All of it. I think it's either you are unrecognized, mm-hmm. othered, or paying it out to be victims, for lack of a better word. And the Armenian experience is so much richer than that. And George Marjikian's story was a perfect example because, unlike me personally, he went through horrors of that time. And despite those horrors, he came out of it and, you know, used his genius to create something and make an impact. And he was not known as being one of out of 1 million Armenians who survived the genocide, and that the story of what it is to be an Armenian begins and ends there. He was something else. He took his background and created something else. And so I think that's part of what I was trying to get out too, that it's richer. It's so much more richer than Armenians realize, than people who are not Armenians realize. We have a very beautiful history that encompasses loss, of course, but also richness and resilience. And both of those things need to be sitting together at the same table.
So last year I was asked many times, Serge, how did you get through COVID? I mean, this seems like it was such a difficult time. You know, like, what are you doing? And I have to tell you, I thought, if my grandfather, Khachik Madikian, can escape Kharkov through Baku, Azerbaijan, go to a country that he doesn't speak the language, and start Kafe Naderi in Iran, and survive several uprisings, and create this historic landmark in Tehran, Iran, my job is like walking through the garden in relation to what he has done because mm-hmm. of the level of resilience. I want to finish. We have 1 minute. I want to finish with this question. How has your sense of being an Armenian evolved through your writing, Dining in Diaspora, and your research?
I think that it is continuing to evolve, and so it's an active process. It changes all the time. For me, that means the more I write and the more people I meet and the more communities I can have dialogue with, it enriches my own personal experience and my understanding of who I am, and it connects me to these communities. And I think really that's what I'm looking for. I mean, I think that's what everyone's looking for, to create connections. And through this process, that has been extra special for me, because when I do make those connections, it means something very deep to me personally. In addition to being, you know, journalism or writing, it gives me a bigger sense of who I am. It gives me a more complex sense of who I am and where I come from, and also where I'm going. You know, it gives me a sense of the future too, and how we can impact that and how we can change it. So food is a perfect gateway to be able to explore all of those things. And it never stops giving for me personally. It's the perfect language in which to tell all of those stories and think about the future too.
It's a beautiful medium. Liana, it's been a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you very, very much for taking the time. I know you're on California time, so thank you very much for waking up so early in the morning to join me here in New York. This is Serge from Sarah Van Restaurant and Flavor Matters, and I had the pleasure of speaking to Liana Aghajanyan, the Armenian writer, journalist, and her blog, Dining in Diaspora. Thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Saravan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Saravan Restaurant in Armenia, New York, saravan.com on the web.